really fast to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah will start in chapter 12. We want to just want to be an encouragement to you tonight. I've been thinking about, again, you know, of course, being a, kind of a shortened service. But even though it's a shortened service, we make sure that we take a few minutes to share the Word of God, to break a Bible out, and just really, because we want to hear from God. Amen? We want to hear from the Lord, regardless of how much time. And I promise you, you know, Pastor Stephen didn't put me on a time restraint. He never would do that, nor would I do that to any of these preachers. But we do want to give our choir a chance to just kind of assemble one more time and get tuned up. And really, because in all honesty, and I know I say this to the choir tonight, but this really goes across the board to all of us, that if we're going to do anything for God, may we have the heart and the attitude of doing it with excellence. Amen? Can I get a witness in the building? That we have the attitude of doing it with excellence because God deserves, He deserves our best. Amen? He deserves the best that we can give Him. And I know that Pastor Stephen, you know, had given you CDs to listen to. The reason we've done that over the years, and there's a reason we do that, because even if you don't read music, if you're like me, I don't read music hardly at all. To me, it looks like a bunch of little guys jumping over a fence. But right, but we give you those CDs so that you could at least listen to the songs, memorize the songs, Because this reason, if you'll memorize the songs, you'll be all right in the performance of it. And so if you haven't listened to it, shame on you. I'll say that as your pastor. Make sure you get your CDs out and listen to them. And I'm getting on you because I love you, because God deserves our best. And this is actually, that premise and that thought really could be fleshed out over and over and over throughout the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of the greatest lessons in leadership you'll ever read in your Bible. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. By his duty, he would have sipped anything the king would have taken. You know, he would have drank it. He would have perhaps tasted of it before the king would eat it, before the king would drink it. And so it was a very serious job. However, in chapter 1, Nehemiah gets word that, you know, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down. The gates are burned with fire. The remnant of the people, they're in distress. And it's a horrible time in the nation of Israel's history. And because the wall being broken down meant there was no safety. There was no protection. They were, if you will, kind of a, they were setting ducks to all those pagan nations as far as just a matter of time. And they would be, you know, totally annihilated. Apart from, you know, the God's grace and mercy in their life as a nation. So Nehemiah gets burdened. He gets burdened to do something about it. And in chapter 1, he prays to the God of heaven, and he asks God to just, you know, just forgive them of sin as a nation. It's a prayer of repentance. I got one of my wife's hairs all over my face, I think. But that's what happens when you use her hairbrush. But anyway, it's a prayer of repentance. He asks God to forgive them as a nation. And God, but what's phenomenal is God bursts something in the heart of Nehemiah to do something about his situation. If you were to give a title to tonight's sermon, I've said this statement many, many times, but to be honest, it's really kind of, it comes right out of Nehemiah, really, if you think about it as far as the context of it, and it's this statement. Here's a long title, and I'm going to give you an abbreviated title of it. Good things don't just happen. They happen just, right? Things don't just happen. They happen just. The second title makes it a lot easier for you if you want to write it down, is this word, teamwork. Teamwork. If you're going to do anything great for God, as Nehemiah does in this great book of the Bible, if we're going to do anything great for God as a church, it takes team effort. Amen? It takes everybody buying in and having the attitude of, hey, we're here to do something phenomenal for the cause of Christ. We're here to do something that has the absolute opportunity to far outlive us, be far, you know, when we're dead and gone by God's grace, if the Lord tarries his coming, we have an opportunity to do something for the Lord Jesus that'll be here for our children, for our grandchildren and their children, And that's what we want to do, and that ought to be our heart's desire. And we want to do it with excellence. If we're going to do anything for God, may we do it with excellence. May we have a heart and a passion to honor the Lord Jesus. So now we fast forward. So he goes back. He goes back to Jerusalem. He rallies the people. He views the city by night. He doesn't tell them anything that's in the heart of his God, that God had placed in his heart. But then he assembles some of them, and he pours into them his vision for rebuilding this wall. They buy into it, as we're going to see. We fast forward. We come now to chapter 12 and chapter 6. Literally in 52 days, they rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. You come now to chapter 12, and Nehemiah has got them tuned up for a celebration service. He's got them tuned up at the dedication of the wall. So with that, Nehemiah chapter 12, we'll start in verse 27. Please stand in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. We'll take a few minutes, and I just hope you'll plug in. I hope you'll listen fast, and I pray God will speak to hearts, all right? So Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 27. Again, the context, the wall has been completed. This is a big day. This is a time to celebrate because God literally had raised them up from the ashes. He's raised them up from the rubble. They no longer are a reproach to those that are around them. They no longer are the laughing stock of all the other nations. God has done something miraculous in their eyes. So now Nehemiah has assembled them to dedicate the wall of Jerusalem. Verse 27 says, "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem and to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing," notice the emphasis, "and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps." The psalteries were stringed instruments. "And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem, and from the villages of Netophathi, also from the house of Gilgal, and out of the fields of Gibeah, and Azmaveth, there you go. For this, if you can't figure it out, just say Bubba. Lord knows. "For the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up," notice what Nehemiah does, "then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate." Skip down to verse 40. "So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me." Skip down to the latter part of verse 42 for time. The Bible says, "And the singers," I love this, this is a great word, Brother Stephen, "and the singers sang loud." I like that. Amen? If we're going to sing, we're going to sing loud so other can hear. "With Jezrehiah, their overseer." He was a director. He was a choir director. Look at verse 42, verse 43. "Also that day they offered great sacrifice and rejoiced," look at this now, "for God had made them rejoice with great joy." God had done this. God had made them to rejoice with great joy. Father, we love you. Help us to love you more. Bless the reading of your word. I pray, God, indeed, that it will inspire the hearts of your people to do it with excellence, to do everything, God, that we do, whether it be teaching a class, singing in the choir, bus ministry, whatever it is. May we do it with excellence. May we do it with every ounce of energy that we have. May we do it with passion. And Father, because you're worthy, we love you, Father. We're grateful for you loving us first. And Father, may we be a great example this weekend to a lost and dying world, many that will come to hear the singing. And Lord, and perhaps prayerfully encounter a living God that can change their life. So Father, indeed, bless our time together for this next few minutes. For it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Teamwork. Now, when you think about teamwork just for a moment, I'm going to give you three thoughts, and I want you to chew on it this week, and we'll just kind of just think of me about something. Now, here's kind of what birthed this in my heart and kind of captivated my heart with this. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we call it around here, there is no doubt going to be a lot of people here. And here's what I praise God for. What I praise God for is the fact that God in his grace and mercy, you say, why are we in Nehemiah? Well, here's kind of where I'm going with it. God in his grace and mercy has seen fit to do something miraculous with Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. Are you aware that most churches, honestly, study it demographically, study it As far as in the context of churches closing their doors on average, and hundreds and thousands, if not thousands, of churches and preachers quitting the ministry, and you just a lot of different things you could say about that. But here's what's remarkable. The fact that God, some 12 and a half, 13 and a half years ago, I believe it was, 13 and a half years ago, the Lord Jesus, this church was down, Emmanuel, about 22 people was in our first service. And to see how God has raised this church up and to give him glory, it is God, as Nehemiah writes in this passage, it is God that has caused this preacher and all of our hearts to rejoice in him for what he has done here. He is an amazing God. And I'm thankful to God that the Lord Jesus in his grace and mercy saw fit, here it is, saw fit that the closing of the doors of Emmanuel Baptist, which should have happened in October, or let me rephrase that. They were looking in to sell everything off, selling the buildings, selling the church buildings off, selling the parsonage and all the land. They were looking at doing all that in October of 2002 and hopefully, prayerfully building something north of here. But in all honesty, and this was from some even of the members, in all honesty, the handwriting was on the wall of this church. It was just a matter of time. I spoke to one the other night. It was just a matter of time before perhaps the doors were going to close. But God, in his grace and mercy, has raised Emmanuel up for such a time as this. And we want to praise him. We want to give him glory. They said, preacher, how do you tie that in with Easter? Here's how I tie it in with Easter. There's going to be a lot of people here Sunday morning. Chances are there's going to be a really good crowd here Sunday morning. And the reason that is, you say, how do you know there's going to be a really good crowd here Sunday morning? Here's how I know. Because you're going to invite somebody. Amen? You're going to invite, you with me? I got volunteers for the nursery. Don't make me have you raise your hand about inviting people. No, you're going to invite people to church. And the reason you're going to invite people to church is they're going to expect your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your schoolmates, they're going to expect to go to church Sunday, Easter, Resurrection Sunday morning. They're going to expect to go there. They're going to expect to go to church. So my premise has always been this. If they're going to expect to go to church somewhere, why not us expect them to come here? Amen? Amen. Why shouldn't we expect them to come to Emmanuel? You say, preacher, well, what's the point? Well, go to chapter 1. Just real quick, go back to chapter 1. And I'm going to give you three thoughts about this teamwork. Teamwork. God did something miraculous with Nehemiah and the workers that really rallied around Nehemiah. And there's reasons this happened. Number one, it happened because Nehemiah and the people really, they had a focused cause. They had a focused cause. Nehemiah was focused on something. He wasn't all over the map, right? He wasn't someone that wanted to start something and not get this thing done and then run and try and do something else, not get that thing done and then run and do something else. No. He was focused on what God had birthed in his heart to do. We read about this in chapter 1 in verse 17. The Bible tells us, then said I, this is Nehemiah, unto them. So Nehemiah, real quick, to sum it up. Nehemiah has gone to Jerusalem. He's viewed the walls. He's seen the rubbish. He has witnessed all of the gates that were burned with fire. He's witnessed that there isn't hardly a lot. There isn't many people around. People have scattered all over the different regions. So Nehemiah, God burst his heart, birthed in his heart to do something about it. He's already went to the king and asked him for permission to leave after 4 months of prayer, I believe it was. He goes and he asks for the king to give him permission to go and help his people. Nehemiah is granted permission. He's given resources of the king's timber and other resources. So he goes in Jerusalem. He views the city by night. He goes up to this gate. He goes down to this gate. He goes and sees this area, that area. And we come to verse 17. He assembled the people around him. And when we read about this, verse 17, Nehemiah 1, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall. Nehemiah 1, verse 17. Nehemiah 2, 17. That's why you guys were like, something ain't right here. He's preaching from a different Bible. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Then said, are you there? Say yep if you're there. All right. Nehemiah 2:17. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste. The thing about a leader and the thing about Nehemiah, who's a great, he's the embodiment of leadership. Nehemiah had to see it
before the people would see it. And that's a tremendous principle with leadership. If you're in a class, teaching Sunday school, what you name it, you fill in the gap where you're serving in ministry. In order for people to buy into the burden, you have to have a burden, right? You have to have a burden. You have to have a burden for the ministry to get buy-in with the people. But you have to be so consumed with it. And that's what Nehemiah, it had consumed him. It had consumed him to do something about the situation. So no longer is it I, Nehemiah, it's no longer I viewing it and seeing it. It's now we. Look what he says. You see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lieth waste and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Look at verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken to me. There's no doubt Nehemiah starts saying, hey, let me tell you what God's done. Let me tell you how the Lord Jesus has provided. Yes, this seems like an insurmountable task. My wife and I, when we talked about coming to Emmanuel, I remember we were laying in bed several nights. You know, it was the night, I think, the night of when Brother Tommy called me Monday morning, met on Saturday with the pulpit committee. I asked, give me 2 weeks fast and pray about, not bragging. That's just what they asked. I asked them to give me that to consider coming to pastor here. You fast forward about a day and a half, 2 days, and Brother Tom says, hey, Brother Tracy, let you know, we voted to call you as our pastor. My wife and I, we chewed on it all day. We went to bed that night, and as we spoke, my wife and I said to my wife, I said, I really believe that God is not done with Emmanuel, and I said, I really believe that the Lord Jesus, now you're going back 13 and a half years ago, I said, I really believe that the Lord Jesus, that's what I said, nothing because of us, but just because of God. I said, I really believe that the Lord Jesus could use us to help him. And the Lord Jesus can use, he's not done with Emmanuel. So we accepted and God gloriously blessed. And I stand amazed at what he's done. Not only has he blessed numerical growth, he's given us tremendous leaders. He's given us tremendous teachers. He's given us just tremendous mindsets and hearts for ministry. You know, I joke sometimes, and I know I have Brother Stephen do this tonight, but it's really... It just again proves a point that I've said for many, many, many years here. When there's a need, you all step up for the need. You step up when there's a need. Melissa has a need. She directs our nursery and toddler ministry, and we have a need. You say, yeah, but preacher, it's serving the nursery. No. You got to quit looking at it like that. You've got to quit looking at it serving in the nursery. You got to quit looking at it as a serving in Sunday school. You got to quit looking at it as serving in the choir. You got to quit looking at it like that. You're serving in the capacity to give God glory. And also, for those that are working in those classes and toddler classes and nurseries, this is amazing premise. You, by working in those nursery ministries and toddler ministries, you are giving the parents of those many of those kids, some parents who do not know Jesus as their Savior, you are giving them an opportunity to come and sit in the worship service, them knowing that their children are safe. And when they're sitting here, I promise you, for those that are working in those nurseries and toddlers, I promise you, they're sitting here, they will hear the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that could change their life and change their family. Amen? It takes teamwork, brothers and sisters. It takes a lot of teamwork. It takes a lot of people that said, you know what? It's not about I. It's about us. It's about Jesus. Teamwork. So Nehemiah, he had this passion. He had this fortitude. He had this inner drive. He had this passionate plea in his heart that God was going to do something mighty through him and the people that would rally around him. So he had, first of all, focused cause. Secondly, he had enlisted commitment. He had enlisted commitment. Look at verse 17 again of not chapter 1, chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 17. He said it in verse 17. Come, look at the latter part. And let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. Well, you know, it's like Nehemiah saying, God isn't done with us. We're not just any people. We're God's people. Come, let us build. Look at verse 18. He tells them in the hand of his God. Look at the latter part of verse 18. And they said, This is great. You could write right next to verse 18, Brian, buy-in. They now have bought into the vision. They now have bought in to the passionate plea and burden of Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, let us. Now, verse 18, and they said, let us. Right? And they said, latter part of verse 18, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened. Look at this. So they strengthened their hands for this. Notice the next two words. Good work. It was a good work. You said, preacher, what made it a good work? What made it a good work was because it was God's work. That's what made it a good work. What makes Emmanuel Missionary Baptist a good work? Because it's God's work. Amen? That's what it is. And when the Bible says they strengthen their hands, it literally means they set their hands to. When it says they strengthen their hands, it literally means they set their hands to the work of God. Would to God, Emmanuel, that all of us, not just some, but all of us would buy in to the cause that God has called us here to. There's gifted people sitting in the pews, many, many gifted people that are sitting in the pews that should be serving in ministry. I really truly believe that. There's many gifted people sitting in these pews that should be singing in this choir, that should be playing in this orchestra. You say, preacher, there's no choir orchestra up there. Well, you get the point, right? No, you should be. You say, preacher, I just don't have time. Listen, it'll help us if we just stay focused on the cause that God's called us to. Now go back to chapter 12. We'll finish up real quick, a couple more minutes. He had enlisted commitment. He had focused cause. And we see finally joyful celebration. Now, you'll notice, and for time's sake, we don't have a lot of time to do this, but, if you'll listen fast, I promise I'll say it fast. So let's kind of track this. One of the things I love about this passage, Brother Stephen, is the emphasis on the singing. There's an emphasis here. They're going to have a praise of celebration. They're going to have a celebration service. They're going to praise God. They're going to do amazing things in celebration of the Lord, but they're going to get the singers involved. You see that in chapter 7. Look at chapter 7, verse 44. Look at chapter 7, verse 44. Chapter 7, verse 44. You there? All right. Chapter 7, verse... Thank you, Gene. At least you're there. Chapter 7, verse 44. The singers, the children of Asaph, 148. Look at chapter 7, verse 66 and 67. Verse 66 of chapter 7. The whole congregation together was 42,303. Beside their manservants and their maidservants, of whom there were 7,337, and they had 245 singing men and singing women. 245 choir, buddy. They had a 245-member choir. Singing men, singing women. That's what I'm going to call you now. Singing men, singing women. You come now to chapter 12, verse 27 through 31. We've already read. You come to chapter 12, verse 40. We've already read that. You look at the latter part of verse 42 of chapter 12. I emphasized it earlier. You remember what's just happened? What's just happened? The wall in chapter 6, I believe it was, has been rebuilt in 52 days. That's a miracle. It's a miracle of God that they've done this. 52 days they rebuilt the wall. Now, what has happened? The Bible says they've assembled. They're now going to dedicate this wall of Jerusalem in chapter 12. They're a singer. And the Bible says in the latter part of verse 42, and the singers sang loud. Why did they sing loud? Let's just skip on down, verse 43. Look at the latter part. So that the joy of Jerusalem, let me back this up. And let's just read it. And that day they offered great sacrifice and rejoiced. For God, look at this, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. You say, preacher, what's the significance? I pray to God. I mean this. I pray to the good Lord that when you stand up here Friday night, you're going to practice tonight. But when you stand up here on Friday night, you stand up here on Sunday morning. I pray to the Lord Jesus that you will rejoice because God has caused us to rejoice. To see how God, I'm telling you, if you know the history of Emmanuel, to see how the Lord Jesus has raised this church up from the ashes. God has raised this church up for such a time as this. I tell you what, if that doesn't cause you to rejoice, I don't know what will cause you to rejoice. I really truly don't. I don't know what will stir your heart. I don't know. I honestly truly do not know what else we can do to stir your heart to get more involved in ministry, to get more involved in toddler class and nursery work and choir and Sunday school and orchestra. You say, preacher, come on, preacher. We just don't have a lot of time. Listen, friend, you're right. We don't have a lot of time to win this lost and dying world to Christ. We don't have a lot of time to do that. We don't have a lot of time to serve Jesus. Amen? We don't have a lot of time. You right now, many of you right now, you have your health. But I promise you, if you live long enough, your health will eventually fade. And you will be like some who wish to God they had the health to come back to church, but they don't have it any longer. I promise it's going to happen. So what do? While we have breath, may we praise the Lord. And may we have a spirit of teamwork. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. We'll sing a quick invitation. The Lord's spoken to your heart. You need to come. Maybe you need to come and pray at this altar. Maybe tonight, very short message, maybe tonight God's arrested your heart about getting more involved in ministry. Will you do that? I hope you will. You say, preacher, I'll be honest, I've been wrestling with this idea of playing in the orchestra. I've been wrestling with this idea about singing in the choir. Okay, great. You've been wrestling with it. The wrestling's over. Right? Been wrestling with this idea about working with those babies. Been wrestling with the idea about working with those, well, not toddlers, some babies. I'll take the babies. No, one of the little toddlers walked up to me and gave me a Reese cup tonight. Amen. I couldn't take it from her. I was like, she held on to it. She wanted to give it to me, Sophia. She wanted to give it to me. She kind of held on to it. You can't take a Reese cup from a baby. She'll have nightmares. She'll never love her preacher. I've got her about tolerating me right now. Teamwork. You come. What's your number, Brother Brian?
452.
452. If you need to trust Christ, repent of your sin, believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we give an opportunity to do that as well. You come right now as we sing.
I can hear my Savior.